Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? It's good to be back. Y'all know I've been gone for a little while. I took some time off to be on sabbatical and to rest and to pray and to hear from God, and it was a great time. So I haven't spoken, I think, 4 weeks. But I'm so glad we have such a great team of pastors and leaders and wives that have been able to step up and bring the word of God. I'm glad I'm not the only one who can communicate the truth. I'm glad we have a team of people. We're all different and we learn differently. So it's been a great time off, but I'm really glad to be back. And I have some awesome messages that I believe God's put on my heart, revelations for us as a church. And that's what church is all about. We're helping each other grow to be more like God. If people in the world, if your desire is to, you don't really care about being more like God, you're not going to come to church, right? If you have a desire, I want to be more like God. I want to fulfill my destiny. I want to find out what it is. I want to do, on the inside of everybody is desire. You know that you were made for a purpose. You're not random. You're not an accident. You were made on purpose and for purpose. And the only way to fulfill that is to connect with God. You can't find your purpose in a book or a person. You find it through a relationship with God. And that's what church is all about, is encourage one another, have that relationship so that I can discover how I was uniquely made, so that I can do that and feel a sense of fulfillment. Because I see a lot of people in the world, they're busy, they might be successful, they might have a lot of money or a lot of fame, but they're not happy. Nobody's happy unless you're doing what you were created to do. That's where fulfillment comes from. And no matter how young you are, how old you are, every day you're alive on planet Earth, there's somebody for you to touch. There's something for you to do. There's a meaning for your life. And that's what church is all about, is helping each other fulfill our destiny, because that's where satisfaction comes from. I don't know why I shared all that, but I think maybe it was good for somebody. But it basically is from what I felt during the time away to convey to us as the weeks and the weeks ahead and as we're in this new building. How many of you like our new building? Isn't it a blessing? Woo, it was a lot of work, but it's worth it. Now, if you'd asked me in the middle of it and some of the trials, I might have given you a harsh answer, but right now, that is kind of like having a baby, right? During labor, it's like, can I get out of this? But then once the baby comes, you forget about all the labor. And I feel like that. It was like birthing this place. It was very hard. It was very challenging. And we're not 100% done. I know there's a lot of little things that are coming up every week, but I think we're 99% there. And did you see the banner out there? They got the banner up. It's not 100%. They didn't get it tight enough. And we're in the process of getting the sign, so that's more of an involved process. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. But our grand opening is September 15th, which is a week from today, this coming Sunday. And on your seat is a card to invite somebody. And I gave the challenge last week. I would like everybody to invite at least one person. I invited three people this past week, and I hope to invite a whole lot more this coming week. But I'd like you to take this card. There's extras by the door as you go out. Another thing you can do, now we have a direct mailer is going out tomorrow to everybody within a five-mile radius of the building. And also we're doing a push campaign on Facebook. So there's a little video that Mike and Jordan and Michael Crames put together, and it's on Facebook. How many of you saw the little video on Facebook? A lot of you, thank you, that's great. And here, as of this morning, there was 4,112 people that saw the video. So we did a push campaign, so you pay $18 a day for it to go to so many people. But out of those 4,112, about 700 was from you guys sharing it. So share it. So in other words, go to the, if you're not familiar with that, Facebook, find out how to get on Facebook, see somebody young next to you, around you, ask them what that is. I know you want to keep your face in this book. That's good, but there's another Facebook. It's an internet thing. I can't explain it, but you need to find out about it, because what you do is you join Victory Church's Facebook page, and you'll see that, and then you just hit share. And because it only went out Friday, so in Saturday, Sunday, in 2 days, because of you sharing it, 700 people saw it. That's what you need to do. Share it, and share it every day. and then it goes out, and it's magic. It just works like that. It's amazing. It just happens. So I just want to let you know about that. Grand opening next week, and so invite people, and it's going to be a great service. Well, there's some sermon notes in your worship guide. If you like taking notes, you can pull that out and follow along with me. First, I want to look at some numbers. We got this first number here. You're going to look at this number, billion. That's 7,756,000, blah, 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 blah. All right, does anybody know what that number represents? The number of people, approximate, obviously it's pretty hard to get, on the planet. 7.7 billion people on the planet, and it's increasing every day, right? It's going up. That's a lot of people. See if you can wrap your head. 7.7 billion. How many people do you know? 7.7. And they say right now there's 7.7 billion on the people that people on the planet. That's approximately the amount of people that have died from the beginning of the human race. That's how many people are alive right now on the planet. God's up to something. The next number, what's this, the next number, big number? 329 million. Does anybody know what that number is? That's the population. Mike is a nerd. He got all these numbers. He's, who knows that number but Mike? So 329 million is the population of the United States. What's the next number we got there? The next number, 21,650,000. No, that's the number of people that were on 13th Street on Friday when I was trying to get over to El Indio. Huh? Were you one of them? Get out of the way. Why are all these people? And it's also the same number of people that were in line getting gas last Friday in front of me trying to get gas. Now, you're right. It's the population of Florida. 21,650,000, the population of Florida. What's the next number? The next number, who knows what that number is? Oh, you guys are on to me. 266,000, that's the number of people that live, reside in our county, Alachua County. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Those are all big numbers. But do you know what God's favorite number is? His favorite number is the next slide. It's this number right here. That's God's favorite number. It's amazing to me that there can be so many people on the planet, and each one, God's thinking about you as if you were the only person on the planet. That amazes me. But that's true. That's the way it works. He knows you like you were the only person ever created, the only person in existence. That's the kind of relationship he has. That's the amazing capacity of God to know everybody individually. You're not just one of 7.7 billion. Oh, yeah, well, they're one. Where are they? No. The hairs of your head are numbered. That means every time one falls out, he knows number 4,563 fell out. He knows. He said they're numbered. He knows the hairs on your head. He created your fingerprint. He made you unique like nobody else on the planet. You have an eye print like nobody else. You have a voice print like nobody else. Your DNA cannot be matched by anybody else. You are entirely, your gifts, your talents, ability, the mix that he made for his purpose, for his destiny, of all the people on the planet, is as if you were the only one he ever made. That's how he knows you. And that's the kind of relationship he wants to have with you. That's God's favorite number, and I'll prove it to you from Scripture. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 18, it will be up on the screen. I'll be reading it. It's actually in your notes, too, if you like to follow along that way. It's a long passage, but it'll be worth it. Just follow along with me. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" How many of you like to be the greatest, one of the greatest? And some of them are sometimes fighting over who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children." Sometimes we get Christianity messed up. We think, you know, I got to be somebody. I got to be famous. I got to have a title. And here's the title. He said, be like children. Be humble. A child trusts their parents. And he's saying, that's the kind of relationship I want to have with you, where you're dependent on me, and you need me to do the important things in your life. And so, unless you become like children, you'll not even enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives, here's that number that I'm talking about. Whoever receives how many?
One.
And sometimes in your life, in the Christian life, and we talk about the importance of reaching people with the gospel, and you may think, oh, I'm so insignificant. Look at Billy Graham. It says that he's converted so many millions of people, and these great evangelists that do great things, or even a preacher that preaches and speaks to 100 people. Well, I'll never be like that. And God just tries to set it straight to us, and he says this: if you can just touch one. Do you know at least one person in your life that you come in contact with at least one person in your daily routine? And that's what God's saying. Sometimes we say, I can't do that. I'm going to let somebody else do that because I'm small, I'm insignificant, I don't have the capacity to reach all these people. And God's just bringing it down home and saying, this is the way the Christian life works. This is how you affect other people. And this is how you actually find happiness in your relationship with God. When you see, because he said, you're salt, you're light, you're supposed to be a witness, you're supposed to love people. He said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes we make excuses for ourselves because we don't have this huge capacity to reach millions of people. And he's bringing it down to this and saying, all you need to reach is one, because I'm very concerned about that one person in your life. I'm concerned about that one person. And it's going to go on and talk more about this. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And watch this. But whoever causes one of these little ones, just one, causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it'd be better for him to have it. God's concerned about the one. He wants to reach the one, and he gets angry if you mess with one. Somebody messes with you, God's watching. And we don't need to, he's saying, you be careful, don't make one person stumble. It'd be better if they had a heavy millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. He's getting a little huffy about this, right? Why? Because he cares about you. He cares about everyone, every single child, man, woman, boy, girl, ever born on the planet. See that you, look at this, see that you do not despise one. Who's that one that sometimes, I know sometimes you see somebody and you're like, don't despise that one. For I say to you, their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who's in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. You want to be like Christ? He said, I came to save that which was lost. God wants to help you. God wants to get you through your problems. But sometimes the best way to solve your problem is see somebody else with a problem and help them. I'm going to talk about that. You can't solve all their problems, but you can help them take one step. And that's what God wants us to do. What do you think? If any man, look at this, for some man has come to save that which was lost. Now watch this. For what do you think? If any man has 100 sheep, that's a lot of sheep. I don't have sheep. Anybody own any sheep? Anybody has ever owned any sheep? Right? But I have 20 cows. And they're big, so maybe they're about like 100 sheep. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want any more cows. They're a lot. And I can't imagine having 100 sheep. 100 sheep, that's a lot of sheep. Now, if there are any, I know they're better than goats. I had goats before. I don't like goats. Goats are a pain in the neck. I just want to tell you, goats, I know a lot of people like goats. They make goat milk. Eat goat meat, whatever. They put the pictures on the Facebook, the cute little goats. And let me tell you, them cute little goats, they ain't cute when you own one. They're terrible. They're terrible. Jump on everything, button everybody. Anyway, so this guy's got 100 sheep. It's a lot of sheep. It's a lot of sheep to take care of. All right? So he's got 100 sheep. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? So I'm thinking about this. You got 100 sheep. One of them's gone. Big deal. I didn't like that sheep anyway. He's one of the pain in the neck sheep. He's the one that's always getting stuck in the bushes and everything. I still got my 99. I'm happy with the 99. That's not the way God thinks. That is not the way God thinks. Watch the way God thinks. Watch this. He's got 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray. Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains? He's going to take care of them. He's going to put them in safe places. They're good. And go and search for what? The one. And you know what? Right now on the planet, God's looking for that one. Looking for that one. And they might be coming across your path this week, and you're his hands and feet and mouth. And you might be the one that speaks to the one, because that one is on God's heart. He hasn't forgotten them. He's now more concerned. He's not saying, I still got the 99. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good average. I'm doing pretty good. Forget about the one. He is totally consumed. This is the way God thinks. Now, he's put the 99 in a safe place, and he's put them out of his mind because he's completely consumed with numero uno, with that one that is lost. And let me tell you, if you look around in Alachua County, and you look around in your life, and you look around in your job, there's a bunch of ones around you. And God is concerned about every one of them because they're lost. You know what? He was concerned about you when you were lost. Aren't you glad he didn't give up? Aren't you glad he persisted and he kept on? And you acted all ugly and everything and disrespectful and mean, and he never gave up. He never got offended. He never quit. He kept on coming. He kept on coming. He kept on coming. He kept on giving. He kept on reaching until he got through. And now you're back. He wants you back in the fold. And there's people in your life that are just like you. They're pushing. And don't look at the ugliness that they're putting out there, because as a result of where they're at, they're separated from God. So they're going to look like the anti-God, the opposite. And just look at the fact that God made them with a greater purpose and destiny than what they're experiencing right now in their life. And God looks at them way different than the way we look at the outside and the external and where they ended up by being away from God. You're going to look like being away from God. Don't let that affect you. Know that he made them. And right now, they are on his mind. They're the one that he's thinking about. They're the one. They're the one. And where are they? They're in your life. They're in my life. Next week, I'm going to tell you a story about a one that God allowed me to minister to. And that's going to be next week. But in our life, don't miss the opportunity. I could have missed the opportunity. The opportunities are easy to miss. That's why you spend time in the Word every morning, to stay sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I could have easily missed the little voice saying, do this, go here, go do that. Don't miss the opportunity, because the one is too important to God. And you need to be, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit. It's so easy to get just caught up in the busyness of life and miss all those little opportunities. But right now, every day, there's a one in our life that we're supposed to reach. So you go, and he searched for the one that is straying. If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which have gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who's in heaven that one of these little ones perish. So sometimes the devil tells us, well, that one there, no, there's no hope for them. Forget about them. But it says right here, that's not the will of God. Everybody, you know, it is the will of God for them not to perish. Everybody. He didn't create anybody and said they're supposed to go to hell. He created everybody. They're supposed to receive me, find salvation, and go to heaven. It's not the will of God, of your Father who's in heaven, that one of these little ones perish. Everybody, you know, it's God's will that they have a relationship with him. God's favorite number is one. He's always thinking about one. God's concerned about you, just like you're the only one, and he's going to put people in your life. You are important to God. The devil will lie to you and tell you, and people, you'll get the idea from this life, you know, that the devil will try to depress you, distress you, cause fear, cause anger, and all you need to do is come back to this. You're the one. It's like you're the only one. That's the kind of relationship Jesus taught us to have with the Father. In Matthew chapter 6, the disciples asked Jesus, and said, teach us to pray. In Luke 10, they gave the same thing, and he said, John taught his disciples to pray. Can you teach us to pray? And he said, sure. And look what he says. So important. The first words teach us so much about Christianity, who we are, and what we're supposed to be. He said, here's how you pray. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We have a Father. You have a Father. That's the way Christianity works. You have a Father. What father forgets his child? What father doesn't care about his child? What father goes to bed at night and thinks he doesn't have children? What father, if a child would come to his father, what father, a child would ask him for something, he would just ignore them? No, never. When your children have needs, you know how that, I'll do what I can. And that's the way God is toward us. And think, he says, I'll do what I can. What can he do? He can do anything. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and he loves you, and that's the kind of relationship you're important to God. He's thinking about you right now. So they asked him, what's the great commandment? The great commandment is, he said, number one is love God, and number two is love your neighbor as yourself. And when he said that, one of the Pharisees, who was a religious leader of the day, asked him, almost you could see it, the tone in his voice as you read this, well, who's my neighbor? In other words, wait a minute, you love my neighbor. Surely there's some people that I don't really need to love, right? It sounds like he's going, well, who's my neighbor? You know, give me some outs on this. And he told the story. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Yeah, I'm not going to read it, but you can read it in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. I think I put it in your notes if you want to go back and read about the Good Samaritan. Everybody's heard that term. There's even companies by the name of Good Samaritan. Everybody's heard that, right? So Good Samaritan. What does it mean? It comes from this passage in the Bible where Jesus told the story about a Jewish man who was walking down the road. Robbers jumped him, beat him, left him naked and almost dead, and stole all his money. And then it says that a priest was walking by and just walked on the other side of the road and kept on going. And then it says a Levite came walking by and looked at him and walked on the other side of the road and kept on going. And then it says a Samaritan, which Samaritans were Jews. They were from the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, so descendants of Joseph. They're part of the 12 tribes of Israel. But they had a difference of opinion on where they should worship. So the other tribes believed in Jerusalem, and I think it was Mount Gerizim, which, you know, because of Joshua, so they felt like that was the place. So it's a theological difference, but the point is Jews hated Samaritans and the Samaritans hated Jews. And what were they fighting over? Theology. And they didn't like each other. But in other words, Jews despised Samaritans and Samaritans despised Jews. That's the significance of this story. Because the Samaritan can tell the man's a Jew because of the way they dressed. Well, I guess this guy's naked, so he couldn't tell. Anyway, the point is the man's a Samaritan, and he helps the Jew. So he tells a story, and the Samaritan picks the guy up. It says he puts wine and oil on his wounds. He takes him to an inn, and he pays the guy and puts him up and says, when I come back, if you have any more needs, I'm going to take care of it. And then Jesus says, who was the neighbor to this man, right? And the Jewish leader couldn't even say the word Samaritan. If you read it, he says, I suppose it was the one that showed him mercy. He didn't even say the Samaritan. He wouldn't even say it. But the point is, he said, who was his neighbor? What was the story here? One man helped one man. That's your neighbor. It's the one person in your life that needs God. It's the one person that's sinking, and they need a life ring thrown to them. You can't fix everybody's problems. You can't solve all their problems, but you can throw them a life ring. You can help them take one step toward God. In your life now, there will always be one for you to help. There will always be the one beat up laying on the side of the road that most people will walk past and they don't want to talk to and they don't want to think about. And all you have to do is help them take one step, just one step. See, sometimes we're overwhelming. Look at people's lives. And the story I'm going to tell you next week about the girl I prayed for at the dock. Her life was a mess. I didn't fix her whole life. I couldn't fix her whole life. She didn't get there in one day. But I helped her take a step in the right direction. And that's all you really, that's why God put you. Because see, you've taken some steps in the right direction. You haven't arrived. You're still on a journey. I'm still on a journey. And that's sometimes, well, I'm not perfect. No, yeah, you never will be perfect. Jesus is the only perfect. So perfect is not what we're trying to give people. What we're trying to give people is, I was helped by simply taking, all we got to do is help them take a step in the right direction. Because right now, they're continuing to take steps in the wrong. How did they get where they're at today? They didn't take this giant leap. What did they do? They took steps. But right now, they're continuing to take steps in the wrong direction. And all you got to do is get them to realize there is another direction for your steps. And all you got to do is get them to take one step in a different direction, which is where? Toward God. That's it. I don't have all solutions. I don't have the answers. I can't undo all the things that you've done to yourself over the years. But I can tell you this. If you start walking in a different direction in a year from now, you're going to end up in a different place. If you keep walking the way you're walking in a year from now, you're going to end up in a deeper hole, in a worser place. And all you got to do is tell your story, connect with them. I don't have all the solutions. I don't have all the answers. I don't have a degree in theology. But I know this. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. I was walking the same way you were walking. And someone told me how to walk in a different direction. And it's taken a while and I haven't arrived yet. But I'm walking in a new direction and you can walk with me. And I'm not telling you I'm the solution to your problem. I'm telling you God's the solution to your problem. And I'm on the same journey you are. But take my hand and walk with me on this journey. Come to church with me this Sunday. And worship the Lord like you've never worshiped before. And hear a message that's going to change your thinking. And respond to the altar call and take a step in the right direction. And get baptized and keep learning and go to small groups and pray and read your Bible and take steps. But take steps and keep taking steps in the right direction. All they need to do is take one step in the right direction. And it can change their entire life. One step at a time. See, Christian life is a journey. The Bible calls it a walk. Here it is in 2 Corinthians 5:7. The verse says this. For we, how does the Christian life walk work? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk. We walk. That's the Christian. It's a walk. It's just every day. You can't quit. You can't stop. You can't say, yeah, I've been walking for. No, you got to keep walking. Because as soon as you start stop walking, the current of life just automatically takes you in the wrong direction. Because the world's heading in the wrong direction. And you got to walk against the current, but you can do it. All you got to do is take one step. Oh, that's a long ways. One step. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you get to where you want to be in Christ? One step. One step. For one step at a time. That's all it takes. Look at this verse, Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, how many have received Jesus Christ Jesus the Lord? If you haven't, we want to take care of that today because that's a step. That's the first step. Receive him as Lord. But then he tells how the Christian life works. As many of you that have received Christ as the Lord, don't just look back and say, I did that. No, walk. Walk in him. Walk in him. Not in the world, not in the flesh, not in lust, not in pride. And that's all tugging at us every day. But we got to walk. That's how we help each other. That's why you need friends. That's why you need a relationship. That's why you need to go small groups. So we encourage one another. Because you're influenced by the people that surround you. They're surrounding you to either walk, take steps in the wrong direction, or they're encouraging you to take steps in the right direction. You got to change your friends. This girl I'm going to tell you about next week. I said, you got to change who you hang out with. It's a walk. It's a Christian walk. You walk one step at a time. You don't walk by, you just have to be. You don't pole vault your way to God. Has anybody ever pole vaulted? Ray, did you ever pole vault? How many of you? I see that hand. Anybody else pole vaulted? Come on. One hit. Well, I was fortunate when I went to college. I was training, in physiology. I was training to be a high school coach and teacher. And I had to take this class called Coaching and Teaching Track. I never ran track. I didn't like track. But we had to do all the track events that you would see on the Olympics. And one of them was pole vaulting. And I actually got to pole vault. And that actually, it's a lot of fun. You go way up in the air. Another event that we had was called the triple jump. How many of you ever heard of the triple jump? More people have heard of the triple jump. It's not too many, though. How many have ever tried the triple jump? You've done the triple jump. Oh, boy, look at that. We got a triple jumper back there. All right. In case you're not familiar with the triple jump, I actually brought a video so you can relate to what I'm talking about. A video of the triple jump. So let's go ahead and roll that video. There's some competition. I think it maybe was Olympic competition. Let's look at the triple jump. Here comes this guy. He's running down. He's from Great Britain. One, two, three. You look at, that's the world record. He went past the end of the marker. Do you see that? It ended 18 feet. Here's in slow motion. You get to the mark. You go one, two, 3. And look how far behind the line. He went past the end of the tape. 18 feet in the air. And when I did it, I went 9 feet. That's pretty good. That's not bad. Half his distance, 9 feet. I actually enjoyed the triple jump. It's a lot of fun. You got to learn the tech. If he had jumped the third step closer to the line, he would have gone almost another 2 feet. But sometimes we think that to the Christian life, oh, you know, you're a pastor, you're a leader, you're this, you know, you must know how to do the triple jump. You must take 18-foot strides. That's one stride, 18 feet. That's a pretty good stride, isn't it? And sometimes we think that's the way the Christian life is. We compare ourselves to people that can take 18-foot strides. It doesn't say we triple jump by faith. It says we what? Walk by faith. And it said this is the way you follow Christ. You do what? You walk. How do you walk? One step. A step is usually not even a foot a lot of times. Sometimes if you're on slippery surface, sometimes I remember. One time I was over at this marina that I'm fixing to tell you a story about, and I went down the ramp and it was raining, and poof, I slipped. Now, I automatically, every time I get there, I go like this, because I don't want to slip again. That hurt. That fell. That was not nice. And if you're in a slippery place, or like when I'm launching the boat on the ramp and it's got all that algae on there, you know, I go like this, right? I'm going to make it. I'm going to get to the trailer, but I'm not going like this because I'm going to slip. But it's okay. Sometimes you got to take baby steps. Sometimes you say, you know, I just had a rough event. I slipped. I fell. I got hurt. Take the baby steps. You know what? You're going to get there. I go down the ramp in baby steps because I don't want to fall. And I hurt myself when I did. I hit my arm on there and tore a muscle in my arm, snapped my neck, or hurt my neck. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that. So every time I get there, I take baby steps. And you know, sometimes in your life, you've fallen and you've made some mistakes, and it's okay to take some baby steps. Just keep taking steps. Baby steps are okay because you know what? I still get to the bottom of the ramp. When I get to the ramp and it's underwater and it's full of algae, I got to get to the back to unhook the boat. I take baby steps, but I got there. But I didn't fall on my butt in the water and get wet. I made it. And sometimes it's wise if you just start taking baby steps. And that's where you, friends, where you help each other and say, let me help you take a baby step. It doesn't have to be a triple jump. It doesn't have to be an 18-foot jump. To get to where God wants you, all you have to do is walk. To fulfill your destiny, I got good news for you. You don't have to perfect the triple jump. Right now, I triple jumped and I pole vaulted, but today, I'm not going to do the triple jump. I wouldn't even try the triple jump. I wouldn't think about doing the triple jump. I ain't doing no more triple jumps and no more pole vaults, okay? But I can walk. I can walk, and everybody in this room can walk, and that's all you got to do. Just take one step. To fulfill your destiny, you don't have to be a triple jumper. You don't have to jump 18 feet in one step. You just need to put one foot in front of the other. Keep on walking. Keep taking steps one step at a time, and help someone else take one step at a time. You don't have to fix everybody. Sometimes we get into this, you know, oh, this person's such a mess. You don't have to solve all their problems, because guess what? You know how they got in the mess that they're in? They walked. They walked one step at a time, but they've been taking a lot of steps to get where they're at. And sometimes we look at it and we go overwhelmed. How am I ever going to get them out of there? You're not going to get them out of there 18 feet at a time. You're going to get them out of there one little step at a time. You're going to get them out of there by bringing them to church. You're going to get them out of there by changing their thinking, by talking to them, getting new friends. It's a step. I heard this about this Baptist preacher, a Methodist preacher, and the Catholic priest went fishing. And they took their little rowboat out to the lake, and the three of them got in the boat, and they rowed out a little bit off from shore, and they started fishing. And the Baptist preacher says, I left my lunch in the car. So he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water back to shore and got his lunch and came back. The Methodist preacher says, oh, I left my favorite fishing lure in the car. He got out of the boat, walked on the water, back to the land, went in the car, got his fishing lure, and came back. The Catholic priest is looking at him and says, I can't be outdone by these two guys. He gets out of the boat, sinks right to the bottom, gets up, swims to shore. The Baptist guy looks at the Methodist guy and says, you think we should tell him where the rocks are? And sometimes you need somebody in your life to tell you where the rocks are. You just have to take the step in the right direction. You just need to know where the rocks are. In fact, tell them who the rock is. Put your next step on the rock. You've been putting your steps in the wrong place and sinking to the bottom and getting the results thereof. Just help people take one step in the right direction. You say, I don't know how to communicate the gospel. Yes, you do. You have already done it. You took one step in the right direction. That's all you have to do. Now, I took off some time in August, and I went, during that time, I went to St. Augustine. I took our pontoon boat down there. I like to go to this place called the Conch House Marina, put the boat in the marina, and I hung out there for a few days. It was very relaxing. It was, you know, I love being on the water and being boats. I just went by myself to pray and seek God, and I got there. I've been there before, so I know the manager and the assistant manager over there. And you call when you're in the boat, and I call on the radio, hey, this is the name of our pontoon boat, is the Red Tuna. It's a Red Tuna. I got a reservation. He says, okay, meet me over here. So they put me over on this dock. I've been there 4 or 5 times before, and usually you get a slip in the marina. They put me on the outside edge where they usually put like the 200-foot boats, you know, where you're exposed to the elements. And my first thought was, what the? Why you? So, you know, I'm not going to argue with the girl. Yeah, okay, tie up. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to go talk to Mark. And I don't want to be out there. And when I thought that, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, I put you here for a reason. And so I'm talking about it's important to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I didn't see flashing lights. I didn't hear a bolt of lightning. I didn't hear a loud voice. It was just like a little something inside because I was thinking to myself, I'm not staying here. They've never put me out here before. I don't like being out here. I want to be in the slip in the middle. You know, I want to be, you know. And I just felt like the Lord said, I put you here for a reason. I was like, oh, okay. So I just tied up. I didn't say nothing. I went and checked in. I didn't say nothing. And then the next morning, I came out, and I met this girl that was cleaning the boat across from me. And I'm going to tell you her story next week. It's too long to tell. Next week, I'm going to tell you what happened. And I told Rebecca after it happened, I called her. I said, that's probably why I came here. I was so amazed and so touched what God did in her life. But that afternoon, I go up to the office to get a bag of ice, and the assistant manager's there who I know. And she says, oh, you came? I didn't see you come in. Yeah, you weren't here yesterday. I checked in. She goes, well, where are you? And I said, I'm over on H23. She says, H23? Why'd they put you over there? What are you doing way out there? You know, you want to be in the middle? Do you like it out there? And see, it's a God setup. Some of these things, you just walk right by them. And I don't know, because, you know, I've been praying and seeking God. I said, well, you know what? I said, it's funny you should mention that, because I really didn't want to be there to begin with, but I felt like God had a reason for me to be there. And this morning, I found out why. I said, I'm going to change her name, the girl I'm going to tell you about next week. Let's call her Sally. I said, I got to pray for Sally. And it's her, and there's another lady that I've never seen before. So they're sitting there, and I said, I got to pray for Sally. They both looked, and their eyes got real big. And the one of them said, you pray for Sally? We know Sally. So we've been dealing with Sally for a long time, and we've given up on Sally. I said, oh, no, you shouldn't give up on her. And I told them what happened. I told them what God told me, because basically it was don't give up, because I felt like she was getting ready to give up. And the other girl said, she's made a lot of bad choices in her life, and she's got herself into this mess. And I said, yeah, but right now she needs some friends, and she needs some help. And I told them what God told me to tell her and how I prayed for her, and that I felt like, I mean, out of the blue, I mean, she's just over there cleaning the boat, and God told me to go talk to her. And then next week I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And I told them, and I told them the story, and I told them what happened, and I told them what God told me to tell her. And they're both sitting there, and we're in this marina, and we're looking out, and it's beautiful, and it's the assistant manager, and then it's the lady, I think she's the head bookkeeper, I've never met her before, and they're both crying. And the one lady says, she said, you know, we've been dealing with her for a long time, and we've given up on her. And she said, but I guess that's why God sent you here. She said, sometimes, she said, we've given up on her because sometimes I forget to be spiritual. And then she started telling me, so this is a really, you know, well-dressed, nice-looking, middle-aged lady. And she said, I used to be where, now, so Sally, she's a young girl, and she's like really rough-looking. And this middle-aged lady, nice-looking, well-dressed middle-aged lady says to me, I used to be Sally. I used to be there, and I've forgotten what it was like to be there. And she said, I've forgotten to be spiritual. We've only been dealing with her in the natural. We've been dealing with her for so long, we forgot to be spiritual with her. And they're both crying, and I said, well, here's what she needs. I said, I believe there's hope for Sally, but she's going to need some friends, and she's going to need to find a good church. Could one of you or both of you start taking her to church? Because she's going to need to surround herself with some different people. Well, I'm telling you, she needs to walk. She needs to start taking steps. I helped her, but I'm leaving. I'm not going to. And they're there. And I said, she's going to need some friends. I said, are there any good churches? Can you think of a good church in San Jose? I'm talking about a church that's going to accept her. Because I realize when she walks in, they might form some conclusions when they take a look at her. I said, you need to find, is there a church in St. Augustine that will accept her the way she is and is not judgmental and is going to love her? And they're like, well, I don't know. We haven't been to church in so long. We don't really go to church. I said, what about this? Because there's a church that I had passed. I said, what about such and such church? She said, I don't think so. I don't think so. And then the sister manager, she goes, oh, you know what? There's a new church that's meeting in the theater, and I heard they're that kind of a church. I said, take her to that church. Go. And then we start talking about church. I stood in there for an hour talking to them about church and about God, and they were like, we're so glad that you came in here. I'm so glad that you said this. We need to start going to church. We're going to go to that church and check it out, and then we're going to take Sally. We're going to take Sally with us to that church. So when I get ready to check out, like 2 days later, both of them are there again. Like I said, I've never seen this other lady. Both of them are there again. I'm saying I'm leaving, and they go, oh, we're so sorry you're leaving. Can't you stay longer? They said, when are you coming back? I said, I don't know. I usually come in the summer once a year. And he said, because, you know, she said, we used to have barbecues on the dock for all the boat owners. And she said, we haven't done that in a long time. Let us know when you're coming. I want to have a barbecue so you can meet all the other boat owners, because there's some other people you need to pray for. There's some people out here, and they want me to come back and have a barbecue. I thought I was going for me to relax, to get away, and I was going for Sally, and I was going for those two. Those, each of them are a one in God's eyes, and you'll miss that opportunity if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to be on it. As soon as I pulled up, and they're like, you're putting me here? I don't want to be here. I could have easily said, I want to be over there, and they would have put me there, and I would have missed Sally. And I would have missed that opportunity for those two ladies. It's just the little things in life where you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why I say get up every morning and read your Bible, because it makes you sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Pray every morning. Worship. Come to church. It changes your attitude. It changes your mindset. Makes you sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And the way that you're going to be used by God in this life is by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to increase our sense, because the Holy Spirit is so concerned about the people that passed by us every day. I could have easily missed Sally. She was over there cleaning a boat, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit told me to say something to her, and then God gave me a word for her, and I'm going to tell you next week what happened there. But it's small stuff that goes on. Sometimes the people that irritate you have been put there for a reason, for you to help them take the next step. One person, every one person is important to God. Look at this verse of Scripture, Mark 16:15. We're wrapping up. He said to them, this is for every one of us, Jesus, his last instructions before he's ascended into heaven. This is what he told the church. We're the church. Church is people. He said to them, go. Go into all the world. Go when you go to the beach, when you go shopping, when you go to the marina. When you go to get gas, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you go to cut your grass, when you go, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, well, we try to come. He said, I don't know how to preach the gospel. I just told you how to preach the gospel. Tell people I was blind and now I see. Let me help you take a step in the right direction. I don't know everything, but I know the direction you're supposed to head in. And I know some people. We have a church of a bunch of messed up infallible people. And we don't have it perfect. We don't have it all right. But we're connected to the one who's perfect. And we're just trying to do better. Come with me. Come with me. Let me help you take steps. How? Help them take one step. This is just that simple. Find one person, and you don't have to fix all their problems. I didn't fix Sally's problems. She's got some serious problems. But if she does what I tell her, And those ladies connect with her, and she keeps taking steps in the right direction. And that was part of the word I gave her, is 1 year from now, you're not going to believe where you are. And there's people in your life like that right now you say, oh, you can't believe where they're at. They're too far gone. No, 1 year from now, you couldn't believe where they could be a year from now if they just start taking steps. Don't give up on anybody. That's what I told her. They said, we gave up on Sally. I said, no, don't give up on her. There's hope for her. And it changed their attitude completely, because they said, we've given up. We've dealt with her. We've tried to help her, and she keeps making the same mistakes. I said, don't give up. And there's people in your life. It's hard, I know. We just need to help them take one step. Who's the one in your life? Let's just think about this right now. Who's the one? Maybe you haven't met him yet. Maybe you're going to meet him tomorrow. Maybe they're going to be in a classroom sitting next to you. Maybe you're going to, I've come to realize sometimes, like I'm shopping or standing in line and somebody just walks up, randomly starts talking to me. Have you ever had that happen? Now I begin to say, is that you, Lord? What's the reason? Why are you there? Why are you next to this person? Why are you talking to this person? Why are they in your life? Is that you, Lord? You might meet one every day. Who's the one? Who's the one that you're going to invite to the grand opening, because they need to take a step in the right direction? That might be their one step. But just to wrap up what we talked about today, and I want you to think about this week. Number one, you're important to God. And you're important to someone. There's someone that you are vital to their change in their life. Some one person is waiting for you. Be the one. Find the one, point them to the only one. Did you get that? Be the one, find the one, but point them to the only one. Help them take one step, not a triple jump. Help someone move in the right direction. God will help you move in the right direction. One more verse I want you to take with you. God says to you right now, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. What's the devil been telling you? What's the devil been telling you? You're going down. You messed up. You're not going to make it. Look at your life. No, read this verse. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Your best days lie ahead. Your best days lie ahead. And part of that is going to be helping other people take some steps in the right direction. Let's just pray. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Lord, just put a hunger in our hearts. Put a sensitivity in our hearts for the people around us that are taking steps in the wrong direction, just like we were, and you want them to turn and walk in the right direction. And we want to continue. Lord, just help us continue to take the right steps. If there's stuff in our life that needs to change, Lord, just show us right now. If we're not taking all the right steps, if there's some steps that I need to add, like praying, like reading the Bible, like giving my gifts and talents to God, like coming to church regularly. If there's steps that I need to take, show me right now so I can be a better witness for you. And help me be sensitive to the one that's in my life today. The one that I'll meet tomorrow. The one that I'll meet on Tuesday. The one that I'll meet on Wednesday. The one. Lord, thank you that I'm the one that you're thinking about right now. But help me to see the one that's in my life that I need to help take a step in the right direction. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I think so, hope so, not sure. Does anybody know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. John chapter 3, he said this. He said, you must be born again. What does that mean? That means simply that there comes a time in your life, by an act of your own free will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes and he lives on the inside of you, and he makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to take care of that. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? I did that in the past, but today I'm not what I want to be. And I want to get back on track. I want to start taking some new steps. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you just to take a bold step of faith in just a moment and raise your hand with every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you and you want me to lead you in a prayer, slip your hand up real quick. Go ahead, put your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? You put your hands down. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Let's say it out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. Man, that's so awesome. I'm so glad you're here. We need to bring some more people here next Sunday. How many of you think we need to pack this place out next Sunday? How many of you know some people in your life that need to be here, need to take some steps in the right direction? If you prayed that prayer with me for the first